Welcome to another audio sermon from Brighton Community Church. I hope that God speaks through the sermon to encourage you, renew your mind, and transform your life. Let's dive in.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind, very gracious. Well, it's wonderful to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I think the first time that I preached in Singapore was over 40 years ago, and I have visited many times since. And in the last few days, I've been speaking at the FOPX conference. But this is the first time that I've been to Brighton Community Church, and I feel very blessed and honored to be on this platform. And I want to thank the pastoral team for taking a risk. It's always challenging when you're a pastor protecting your pulpit. And they don't know me, but they've invited me to come and speak to you. I could say some terrible things. So next week, make sure you're here next week, and they will just sort out all the problems that I've created this week. Anyway, as we've already said, I am married. In fact, this year I been married for 50 years, and that's, I always think you should celebrate anniversaries more than birthdays, because anniversaries take hard work. All you've got to do to have a birthday is to stay alive. So, but anyway, I've got three children and seven grandchildren. My eldest grandchild is at university, so I'm feeling very old at the moment. But I've been preaching for over 50 years. But can I just say that none of that qualifies me to speak to you today? My education, my background, my experience, nothing of that qualifies me to speak to you today. The only thing that qualifies me is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what enables us to do what we do. So I come here with that in mind. Now, I'm going to do something slightly different. I haven't asked permission to do this, so I'm hoping I'm allowed to do it. You're looking at me worried. The pastor's like, what's he going to do? But I'm speaking in both services, so I'm going to do two separate messages. This one is called Jesus. And the next one in the next service is called And. So together, the messages are Jesus and. How Jesus works through ordinary people like you and me. Now, if you are just coming to this service and you want to know about And, you could come to the next service. Or you can go on our website, the Hillsong website, and you can get hold of a book that I've written called Jesus And. And in fact, I've another book, Jesus And Volume 2, is coming out in July. So if you get on the website, you can buy two books for the price of two. All right, so today we're going to just look at Jesus. And we're going to pray, because the reality is no one can live, do anything without Jesus. Jesus put it like this in John 15, verse 5. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't be sisters, brothers, wives, husbands, leaders, preachers, or listeners without Jesus. So that's why we pray at the beginning of a service, not because it's traditional or religious, because you cannot hear what I'm saying without prayer, and I cannot say what I intend to say without prayer. Prayer is central. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to speak to us about a concept that, for, honestly, has changed my life. And I'm hoping and believing today that whatever your background or circumstances, this message will contain something that will change your life. Now, can I just ask a practical question? When am I meant to finish? Is there going to be a clock? Or do I have to watch my... Oh, look, there's a sign coming out of the back. I finish in 10 minutes, is what you said. I keep going? Okay, you're going to tell me, are you? Excellent. She just held up a sign saying 10 minutes. I thought, well, that's obviously you didn't like my introduction. Anyway, so I'm going to pray, and one of the things I'm going to pray for is that I'm going to have more than 10 minutes. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, thank you very much for every single person here. You brought us together this morning by design to gather in community, to worship your name, to listen to your word. And I pray that your word will challenge us, inspire us, create faith in us, make a difference. Father, you've said in your word that it never returns empty. And I pray that that's true of today. It will never return empty, but will fulfill the purpose for which it was created. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In 1986, I was in a meeting like this, just a member of a congregation, listening to a preacher by the name of Colton Wickramaratne. He was a Sri Lankan prophet, and he was preaching a normal message. I can't remember exactly the nature of the message, but suddenly, in the message, he pointed at me. And he said, God's method is a man, and you are that man. For the rest of the meeting, I could not take that phrase out of my mind. It gave me the impression that God wanted to use people, ordinary people, people like me, broken people, flawed people, average people. He wanted to use people, and I could be one of those people. So, for the rest of my life, not only did I decide that I wanted to be that person that God could use, but whenever I'm in a situation like this, I look for people. People like James, who we've just heard of, who shakes hands on the door. God uses people to welcome people, to serve people, to help people, to make a difference. People like Vanessa, people like Danny, people who are committed to serving Christ. So I want to unpack that idea of God's method is a person. In fact, Colton in his book says God's method is a man or a woman, and you can be that person for God. Where does this idea come from? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling you the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." So here he is saying that God's methodology was the man, Christ Jesus. And then Paul writes, "And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle." Paul himself, a man, saying, "My job is to serve or witness to Jesus." Now, the interesting thing about this is that Paul, who writes this, was not a good man. Now, I know that may shock you, but he said of himself, I am the chief of sinners. God didn't pick him because he was a churchgoer. God didn't pick him because he was a nice man. God picked him because God is good. God has picked you because God is good. Not because he's impressed by your religion. Not because he's impressed by your Bible study. You are a recipient of God's grace and mercy. All the way through the scripture, you can go through from Abraham right through the scriptures. They are broken people, normal people, average people, not superhuman, just men and women who volunteer, if you will, to serve God. So it says in Isaiah 44 and verse 28, for instance, here's an example of an unlikely person. It says, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. Cyrus. Isaiah the prophet is prophesying before the children of Israel were taken into exile. Jeremiah said that they're going to be in exile for 70 years. But Isaiah the prophet is prophesying before that, and he is saying, when the 70 years has come up, I'm going to raise up Cyrus, who is going to be used by God to see the people of Israel return to their promised land. Now, that's an extraordinary statement because he's naming a man who is going to live over 100 years in the future. But he said, God is going to use that man to bring the people of Israel back from exile, back to the promised land. This man, Cyrus, was not a nice man. He wasn't even a believer. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Persian. The most unlikely of people. But look at what Isaiah goes on to say in Isaiah 46, verse 10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. In other words, I'm going to save my people. From the east, I summon a bird of prey from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purposes. God will bring his purpose to fruition in Singapore, in this church, in your life, and he's going to use people, strange people, unlikely people, to accomplish it. Isn't that good news? God can and will use you in your workplace, in your university, in your marketplace, in your school. God can and will use you. Don't ever say, I can't do this. Don't ever say, I'm too young or too old or too bad or too good. God uses unlikely people, including Paul, as I said. But before we talk about the unlikely people in the next service, let's talk about the likely person, Jesus. Jesus, God's man, if you will, the one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. God had a plan to save the world. And so he picked Abraham. Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees. He wasn't a good man. Possibly he was a moon worshiper, along with most of his people in Ur. And he picked him because he had a plan. And in Genesis 12, he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you. And then in verse 3, and I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So God has this plan to save the earth, and he picks a man, and he's saying, I'm going to change the world through you. But how's he going to do it? Well, Genesis 12, 7, a few verses later, says the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, that word is seed, to your seed I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he's saying, I'm going to bless the world. I'm going to pick an ordinary man, Abraham, and I'm going to change the world through him, but specifically through his seed. But who is this seed? Well, Galatians says, Galatians 3:16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, plural, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Think about this for a minute. God has a plan to save the world, so he chooses an ordinary man, Abraham, and says, through your offspring, your seed, a man will come who will save the world. The man is the one that we're celebrating in this room all these years later, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's unpack that idea, how God works. Firstly, he looked for a man. Four principles. God needed a man. He needed a mediator. He needed a mediator. Why? Why did he need a mediator? Well, look at this. Job in chapter 9, verse 32. Job is not having a good time. If you think you're in a bad place, Job was in a worse one. He had lost everything. And he's angry at life, and he's angry at God. And he says this, Job 9:32, God is not a man like me that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. He wanted to take God to court and challenge him and say, why has this happened? Isn't that what we feel like sometimes? Of course, you're all lovely people, Singaporeans, righteous, godly, wonderful. You would never get angry with God. No, everything's perfect for you. But Job, on the other hand, speaks to people like me who get angry with God on occasion. And he said this, if only there was someone to arbitrate or mediate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, someone who could remove God's rod from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more, then I would speak out without fear of him. But as it is, as it now stands with me, I cannot. So here is Job in a terrible place saying, all I need is not a distant God who doesn't understand me, but I want someone between us who I can talk to, who I can access God with, through whom I can meet God, a mediator, an arbitrator, someone who understands God's desires and understands my needs and can put his hand on both. But there isn't one. What this verse says is that God needed someone to stand in the gap between heaven and earth, between his needs and your needs. Someone that you could hold on to. Someone that he could hold on to. But he couldn't find one. There wasn't one. What does that teach us? That God actually sees your needs. He sees your pain. Everyone here has pain. You've all gone through difficult times, but God sees it. He knows he needs someone to stand in the gap. And of course, we've got good news for you, because 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the one that holds God's hand and holds ours. He's the one that is our reconciler. So, everybody say, God needed a man. Is this making sense to you so far? A few nods. All right, God needed a man now. He's looked for a man. Secondly, he looked for a man. He needed someone to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 23, verse 30. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. I needed a man. I looked for a man who would stand in the gap, an intercessor. Some of you are intercessors. You are prayers. You need to pray that God would do what he does or do what he wants to do in Singapore and in this church. And you are standing in the gap on behalf of other people. So God needed a person. God looked for a person. But the Bible says, number three, he couldn't find the man. Isaiah 59, verse 16, he saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He looked around. If I could just find one righteous person, I could save these people. But I can't find a righteous person. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. God needed a man because we were messed up. He looked for a man, but he couldn't find one. He couldn't find a righteous man. So the fourth principle, and this is great hope for all of us, God became the man. God became the man. Isaiah 59, verse 16, we've just read it. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Or John 1:14, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is an amazing revelation. God needed a man because he saw you in need. He looked for a man, but he couldn't find one. No one was righteous enough, so he became the man who would stand between God in heaven and us on earth. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, able to reconcile us to our Father in heaven, able to forgive us of our sins, able to cover our faults, able to change us forever. He is the man. Everything centers around him. William Shakespeare, the English playwright, wrote a famous play called Hamlet. Hamlet is one of the main characters in the play. C.S. Lewis, one of the great theologians, said that Hamlet, the player, the character in the play, could never know the author of the play, William Shakespeare. A character in a play can't know the person who wrote it unless the author, William Shakespeare, wrote himself into the play and becomes one of its characters. Well, that is exactly what has happened. We could not know God unless God, the author of salvation, wrote himself into his own story and became one of the characters. So now we know what God is like because the Word became flesh. How wonderful is that? God is with us. And when Jesus was on this earth, Philip said to him, "Show us the Father. What's he like?" And Jesus said, "Don't you know who I am? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. I'm the one who's been sent to be the mediator. I'm the one that's standing in the gap. I'm the one that's revealing heaven. I'm the one that you need." That Job cried out for, "If only there was an arbitrator, someone to stand in the gap, someone that I could hold on to." Well, Jesus is that man. So what's our job in it all? If Jesus has done all this for us, well, our job is to be a herald. Going back to our text, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is no one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This is now has been witnessed at the proper time. And for this purpose, I am telling the truth. Sorry. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Here he is saying, now you know our role. Jesus is the man. Now we can be the people. We can be the ordinary people, the man, the woman, the child, the older person, the younger person, through whom God can work. So, three things from that passage that I want you to write down if you're taking notes. Firstly, we are anointed to be his witnesses. We are anointed to be his witnesses. I was preaching on this in FOPX, and I was saying that we are not the central character. It's not all about us. Our job is to point to Jesus. When John the Baptist was on this earth, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Look, he's the one that you should follow." John the Baptist had followers. But in John chapter 1 and verse 37, it says, when he said, "Look, John the Baptist's followers turned away from John and followed Jesus." They heard John and they followed Jesus. That should be our testimony. We are a witness. We're not the main event. We're just witnessing what we have seen and heard. We make life all about us and our needs and our desires, but actually we're just a witness to the main event. We've met Jesus. We've seen Jesus. Look, there he is. Follow him. Witnesses point away from themselves. That's what we've seen. You and I can be used. When I am in need, and this afternoon in the second service, I'm going to unpack it, but throughout my life, God has used average and ordinary people who've witnessed to Jesus. People have just come along my life and told me about Jesus. People have introduced me, if you will. When I became a Christian in 1974, the preacher was a man called Michael. And he, was he called Michael? I just had a mental blank. Anyway, that illustrates the point. I can't even remember his name. But he just shared about Jesus. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I talked to him afterwards. and he led me to Jesus. And then he disappeared out of my life for 40 years. I never saw him again, never heard of him again, never knew anything about him. He was just the witness through whom I got saved. Many years later, I went back to England on a thank you tour, and I found where he lived. And I met him in a restaurant, and I just said, "You don't know me, I don't know you, but 40 years ago, you were preaching, and you led me to Jesus." And I just want to thank you for that moment. People can be those witnesses, people who just stand in the gap. You can be that witness to someone. I could tell you story after story, and I'm going to tell you more stories in the second service of how God uses ordinary people. But we are anointed to be witnesses. Secondly, we're appointed to be heralds, he says. He's appointed to be a herald. God has asked us to be a herald. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. And then it says in verse 11, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher." A herald is someone who comes and proclaims good news. In England, where I originally come from, they have a habit, and I said this at the conference, they have a habit of, 200 years ago, they had what were called town criers. And they would go into a community and they would ring a bell, a bit like the bell that invited you into the service. And they'd ring a bell and say, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye." And then they would give an announcement. This was before the age of radio or television or social media. That's how you found your news. There was no newspapers. You had a town crier. They were called heralds. Now, if you go to England, people still dress up in ancient costumes and wander through the streets with a bell. England's a weird place, but anyway, that's another story. And shout, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye." And say what is going to take place over the next few days, usually for the tourists. There's going to be a fair on Saturday. But the original heralds weren't just bringers of good news with a bell. They heralded that the king was coming. They were specifically a part of the king's entourage, and they went before him shouting, "Hear ye, hear ye, the king is here. The king is here." That's what a herald did. And the word for preaching in the Bible is herald. Keruso. My job, and this may sound strange to you, my job is not to give you some practical tips on how to live a good life. My job is not to give you steps to get to heaven. My job as a preacher is to shout out, if I had that bell, I'd use it. "Hear ye, hear ye, the king is here." Now, what you do with him is not my concern. But if I were you, I'd get your life sorted. I'd meet Jesus because the king is here. Not just here, but coming in all the clouds of glory. We are appointed to be witnesses. We're anointed to be witnesses, appointed to be heralds. And finally, we are assigned to be his servants. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Some of you are going to work on the coffee machine. Some of you are going to shake hands on the door. Some of you are going to play music. Some of you are going to be involved in teaching. You've all got a part to play within the community. This is not a spectator sport. You don't come to church, you belong to church. You don't attend church, you are part of church. We are the church. Every single person here, according to the scriptures, should be involved in something. It says in verse 9, for we are God's co-workers, co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. How amazing. God's method is a person, and you can be that person. And most of the people that I have been impacted with are the most unlikely people. I'm just going to give you one story that, because I know you're all looking good and wonderful, and I'm sure you're nice, but there's going to be a few odd people here. There's always odd people in church. And in our church back in England, 50 years ago, there was a very odd person. I've never forgotten him because he used to come to church smoking a pipe. And sometimes he didn't put his pipe out before the church started. So he would just put the pipe full of tobacco and still alight into his pocket. And one day in church, he was worshiping in front of me and his jacket caught fire. So he's standing and he didn't notice. So he's got his hands in the air and his jacket is going up in flames. We had to put him out in the worship service. So he was just odd. I'm sure there are no one like that, but don't look around. But anyway, one day I came to church and I said to God, I want you to speak to me today. I want to know whether I should work with this man called Andrew. I hadn't talked about anything to anyone. I just talked to God. I said, in this service, I want to know whether you want me to work with Andrew. So that's what I asked. Anyway, I went to the service, listened to all the sermon, listened to the messages. No one said anything. And I'm just standing at the end saying, well, God, I asked to know. And then this odd man turned up. And he just walked up to me and I thought, oh no, what's he going to do? Because he was odd. Nice, but odd. Bit like you. God works through ordinary people. Anyway, he just walked up to me and I remember I hadn't said anything to anybody. He just pointed at me and he said, you are Timothy. And Andrew is Paul. And then he walked off. And strangely enough, I've never seen him since. But he was God's man because it was such a specific confirmation that I should work with this man called Andrew. But he was the most unlikely of characters. I want to finish with one final unlikely character. John 4, 24. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. He says, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that the Messiah called the Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. I am he. Wow. This was a completely unlikely character. Do you remember the story? Jesus is speaking to a woman at a well in John chapter 4. She's had five husbands and the person she's living with is not her husband. She is a Samaritan woman, and the Jews and the Samaritans don't get on. She's not sure of her theology. She's not sure who Jesus is, but Jesus uses her, this unlikely woman, to reach her community. Now, your pastoral team have very graciously invited me to preach this morning. They don't know me, but I have not been married five times. And the woman that I am living with is my wife. I just thought I want to make that clear. I do know who Jesus is, and I'm not living this strange theology. But listen to this. You, including the pastoral team, would never invite this woman to your pulpit. Would you? But look at what happened. John chapter 4 and verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. This woman is one of the greatest evangelists in the New Testament. A great preacher. Her statement, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" contains all the necessary ingredients of preaching. She didn't have all the answers. She wasn't a perfect person, but she had had an encounter with Jesus, and she became a witness, she became a herald, and she became a servant. And she said, "Come, come, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did." Now think about this for a moment. She was at the well in the middle of the day. The reason that she was there in the middle of the day instead of the cool of the morning when all the other women would be there was because she was alienated. She was rejected. She was despised in her community. But she was so overwhelmed by her encounter with Jesus that she just runs back and says, "Come, come, come, I've found him." My challenge to you this morning, Brighton Community Church, you may not be as odd as my friend with the pipe. You may not be as godless as this woman, but you are an unlikely person. And yet God's plan for you is to go into your community, go into your world, go into your marketplace, and be a witness, a herald, and a servant to the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus and ordinary people like you and me. Amen? That's it. That's all you're getting. Let's all stand. Well, you're not, that's actually not technically true, because I'm going to keep preaching in the next service if the pastoral team allows me to. That's always the risk. Vanessa and the team are coming up. We're going to sing a song before I hand over. But before I hand over, I'm going to pray. Is that okay? I don't know what your tradition is, because I've never been here before, but the Bible says, when you pray, put your hands in the air. It says, lifting holy hands. And so even if you've never lifted your hands in your life, why don't we just do what the Bible says for a minute? As we lift our hands, it's a sign of openness. It's a posture toward God. And you're basically saying, after this message, I confess that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, and I put my trust in him. But also you're saying, I want to be that person that can be used by God. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to make a confession. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak in this great church. I pray that my words, or more to the point, your message, will land in each of our hearts so that we walk away different. Pray that you'd continue to speak to us. But I pray that this message will just become something that's in our spirit and help us to live lives for you. Now, with your just hands open to God, say this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Word become flesh, the man, the mediator between God and man, who reconciles me to God. I put my trust in you, my Savior, my King, and my Lord. And today, unlikely as I am, I offer my service to you as a witness, as a herald, and a servant, so that you can speak to my community through me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you've been blessed and inspired by today's message. If you're thinking, where can I get more? Then head over to brighton.org.sg, where we've got a whole library of audio sermons just like this one. You'll find information about our services and ways to get involved. We hope to see you soon.